This is Open Talk. In this program, we talk with people in a close and friendly way about what they're doing or even just about their lives. Our website is opentalk.us. The views and opinions of our guests are not necessarily those of this station or its management. We present this program for your consideration.
Be my savior, my deliverer. I'm just as sad as sin can get.
This is James Long again. I'm here with the group Crimson Blues. I say it that way because I want to make sure I don't want to leave off the S.
Thank you.
I tend to. So I'm here with Mark, Brad, Bill, and Scott. We're going to pick up and talk about music in a deeper sense. Scott mentioned you had a lot of instruments, the different types of instruments.
Go ahead. Well, I have a growing number of guitars. My collection has gotten a little bigger. And the primary reason for that originally was because I wanted to start playing slide guitar, and this is kind of another topic of its own.
That's so, the one where you put a piece of glass or plastic on your finger and
strings. We'll when we pull instruments out, we'll show you that. So there's no other way to put it except to say that for the standard traditional kind of lead guitar playing, I'm just no good at it. Okay, I stink.
Okay,
I just don't have those motor skills in my fingers to do that. Other people, just like Brad, they just run circles around me, which is why I love being in a two-guitar band, because somebody else like Brad can take care of all that other stuff. But at some point, I thought to myself, I was listening to some recordings of Muddy Waters and realized that he was using a bottleneck slide on his finger and playing slide guitar, and I thought, I wonder if I could do that. Slide guitar is a really important part of blues music. It goes way back in blues music history. But oddly enough, a lot of blues guitarists today don't use it very much.
And didn't they just start with, I think originally, didn't they just use a shot glass?
Yeah. It's called bottleneck because they'd break off the top of a beer bottle.
Okay. They just took the neck of it.
Yeah. Or a shot glass. They'd use whatever they could get their hands on. And the original use of the slide was because in the South, in southern states, the weather is very, very humid. The people there are very, very poor, so they've got very cheap, inexpensive guitars that suffer badly with the changing humidity all the time, and it'd be very hard to keep it in tune. Okay. And so they'd use the metal slide or a bottle glass slide or something and just forget about playing with the frets on the guitar's neck, and they would just slide up and down with the slide because it's the only way they could hit the note. But over time, it's evolved and become a virtue unto itself because it's got a beautiful, haunting sound. And playing with a slide, you can evoke certain kind of musical feelings that you couldn't otherwise. So I was listening to Muddy Waters, and he was very masterful with slide guitar. And I thought, you know what? Maybe that's something that I could do. And so I went out and bought a couple of different slides and found one that fit good on my finger. And lo and behold, I found I could do it. Now, when you're playing in slide guitar, oftentimes what you want to do is change the tuning of the strings. We use what we call an open tuning. And to make I won't go into the gory details, but you tune the strings in such a way that you can sweep the slide up and down the guitar's neck, and all the strings will make a beautiful major chord sound. And so it gives you much greater versatility and flexibility for using a slide. And so I would get an additional guitar so I can have one in the normal traditional standard tuning and the other one in a slide tuning. Well, as time goes by, you discover there's more than one open tuning that feel a little different from the others, you know, that are useful for different styles of blues songs. And so I realized, well, I've been playing with what we call open G tuning, and I'd like to have, you know, I'd like to play in an open E tuning because there's some other interesting things that you can do there. You can create certain sound feelings that you can't with open G. And so I need another guitar. And since open E is used heavily for kind of swampy Delta blues music, I need to get a Telecaster because that's the guitar that fits that sound. So there I got guitar number three. After that, guitar number four was a different guitar in open E that would have a stronger driving tone. And then some of the acoustic guitars I have are in different open tunings and on and on. So the end result is I've got a fairly big collection of guitars, and I'll switch guitars from song to song quite a bit because a certain guitar has the tuning that I want for the key that we're playing the song in. To a certain degree, I'll also pick a certain guitar because the different tone flavor of the guitar. And so the end result is I've got a pretty big collection of guitars that are mostly electric, but there's a couple of specialty things like an all-metal acoustic resonator. Okay. And also a cigar box guitar that's actually built from a cigar box, literally, which was a big part of blues music history and bluegrass as well. People would make guitars out of any old junk they had laying around because they were very poor. So I've got this cool cigar box guitar, and I had electric pickups installed into it, so it actually has a surprisingly cool, powerful tone. So It doesn't just look cool, it sounds really great too. And so almost every time we play now, I have at least one song where I pull that one out and play that one.
Well, now that you've talked about it, people are expect to see it.
It'll be there. It'll be there.
How would you really define the distinction between blues and regular music? When people think about it, they're thinking, da 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 da. They're thinking that really sad or really horrible stuff. But I've already listened to some of the music. But from your point of view, how would you define, how your music differs from so much other stuff?
Well, there's first of all the distinction between blues and other musical forms. And one of the things I mentioned already, which is that people think that blues is kind of a dull, plodding, kind of brooding music about being miserable. But really, it's much, much more than that. It's very expansive. It covers all different facets of human experience and human emotion. But it does it in a brutally honest way, which means you got to talk about the pain. You got to talk about the adversity. You got to talk about the hardship. As I'd mentioned earlier, part of what we do, and many other people too, in Christian blues, is that we cover all these facets of human experience that blues talks about, and we put it in the context of our Christian faith, where yes, life is hard, and by the way, Jesus is the answer. And we're not the only ones doing that. There's actually quite a lot of Christian blues musicians out there who are very, very good. A lot of the world just doesn't know about them because you go to most Christian music stations and they're not playing this kind of stuff. Kind of playing the standard cookie cutter stuff, which is also very nice, but there's a lot of additional diversity and variety out there that people aren't aware of, that people are missing. The only other distinction of blues to other kinds of music, I would just say that most styles of music that we have today, they find their historical roots in blues.
And just a word about influences. Obviously, we have our own sound, but I think we certainly have some pretty unique influences. I'd say Mark, is definitely a fan of R.L. Burnside and some of the old Southern, Mississippi Hill Country, droning blues, and
Willie Johnson,
Blind Willie Johnson, and we found a band actually that had the son of R.L. Burnside called Mississippi.
North Mississippi All Stars.
Which great band. We saw them up in San Francisco. For me, I was always a classic rock guy, but I listened to the blues without knowing. I was listening to early Jimmy Page stuff with the Yardbirds and with Zeppelin. I was listening to a lot of Clapton, and that actually kind of directed my gear choice towards trying to get sounds, from Derek and the Dominoes and Cream and some of the Zep stuff with the Les Paul going through a Supro. Those are all sounds that just kind of were implanted in my mind for my influences.
For a guy pretty young, as young as you are, that's unusual because that music is hard to find nowadays.
Yeah, well, you hear what's on the radio now, and what am I going to do? Listen to Rihanna?
Well, I don't even know how to answer all that stuff. A lot of great singers out there, but most of them, what are they singing? They're not singing the blues. They're singing I'm in a hole and I'm going to die in here, and that's it. And I'm like, boy, that's uplifting.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like, you know, or the, it's all about, you know, it's, you know, I'm going to sleep with so-and-so. I'm like, you know, how is that an accomplishment? You know, how are you, is that really doing any good for anybody? I mean, so you're living a nice life, but then you're, but you, you know, who are the most unhappiest people? The people who are famous and rich, most of them are.
Yeah.
Because that's their God.
Yeah.
When they face their maker, are they going to be happy? Are they going to be able to hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, I mean, what's the richness of life? What are the things that really are blessings in life? And that is knowing God, being used by God, you know, having a purpose in your life. And, you know, I look at, you know, being used in this band. And if we can touch, you know, a couple people a night when we play, that is what matters. Like, that's such a blessing. And getting to play music that you love, get cool guitar tones that, you know, that sound good, at least in your own mind, and then hopefully touching somebody, you know, it's just, I feel like it's a real treat.
It's, I think it's important that music, when it comes across, that it has a greater purpose. I mean, the army of Israel used to go out, and a lot of times they would sing right before they, as they were before battle or as they were going into battle. Mm-hmm. Scripture talks about Kenaniah leading the one of the high priests who would lead the army in song as they were out going out. And so, you know, Petra wrote a song about it called Kenaniah. It was kind of interesting, and it opened up the idea in my mind that, oh, I guess that really did. That's right. That did take place, didn't it? So that's one of the things. Mm-hmm. That I think music, the right kind of music can do is inspire us to drive towards a word. Yeah. That's critical. If it just sounds good and it makes you feel good, that's nice. But it, we were talking about before, faith comes by hearing by the word of the Lord. It, well, if they're not hearing it, how are they going to get faith? How are they going to have any kind of faith? They're not hearing anything. I mean, from your point of view, what do you hear the world saying compared to what they said, you know, just 20 years ago? About life.
The only thing that I hear in the secular side is that they are embracing the unregenerate animal within them, and that's somehow cool. That's about it.
Okay, I wasn't even thinking of that. That's great. That's a great point of view. You're right. That is true. They are talking about that. I just want to be.
It's a symptom of an empty heart, though. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I hear a lot of the quote millennials saying, you know. Comments about just being yourself, you know, just if you're your true self, nobody can criticize you, nobody can tell you that you're wrong, because that's how, quote, God made you. But the truth is that we're also born into sin, and we have a fallen self that needs to be regenerated. And so this kind of notion that nobody can say that anybody's wrong, nobody can say that a lifestyle is wrong, that's somehow the greater sin, is just telling somebody that they should change. And I see that as prideful. And I think that, you know, I think that's maybe why God is far from this generation, is because there's a pride that they don't need God. They don't need to change. And, you know, you reap destruction from that.
But they are changing. That's what they don't get. They're not changing in the sense of good, they're changing sense of bad, because yeah. They're becoming more yeah. and more self-centered and more and more selfish.
Yeah. It's moral relativism at its worst.
Yeah.
It's
we see what's happened throughout history of the world when that happens. The Greeks and the Romans collapsed from within.
Yes.
And Lincoln pointed that out as president. He says, this country will never fall except from within.
Yes.
And we are basically, you know, I hate to use Jim Jones and Guyana, they took you know, they took poison, you know, cyanide. Well, we're sort of doing that as a country. We're allowing our government as a whole. Not I'm not saying everyone is. You know, unfortunately, it's probably only about a fourth or a third of the country are saying or even realizing that something's happening. The rest don't care.
Yeah,
that's true. In the last election for president, so many people didn't even vote. They figured he was going to win again. They didn't care, or and there's nothing they could do, or whatever. And I'm not going to go into more of that, but I could go on forever on that. But I think that it's a symptom of our culture. We don't seem to really care about what's going on, and somebody else will fix it. There's a problem. It's okay. Everything's good, and they don't realize what really is happening, how things are getting bad.
You know, as long as nobody disturbs their episode of the Kardashians or their football game, you know, these necessary illusions, you know, then everything's fine. Now, if anybody disrupts those sacred cows, you know, then they've got a problem.
Yeah. Funny you should use that term, but in any case, I think that. It's going to be like the man or the woman who gets swallowed by the boa constrictor. They won't even realize there's something wrong until it's up to their head, their neck, and it's like, no, there's something wrong. Well, it's kind of late. One of the things I've been telling people a lot is I say, look, folks, there's something that's going to happen that's not very pretty. There's going to be, a lot of people are going to suffer. But what comes out of suffering? True suffering, what really comes out? Revival comes. So I tell people, I've been telling everybody, you better strong your faith so when that happens and people come to you and ask you questions, why do you think you get the results you get at the recovery programs? Because people have suffered.
Yes, yeah. They have gone through really hard times, much more than any of us in the room.
Exactly.
And they are looking for something that they can really hang on to that's trustworthy.
Right, because people have lied to them.
Yeah.
People have deceived them. They've lied to themselves.
Yeah.
They know they can't trust themselves. So they're at that point. The problem is that our culture, that most of it, I'd say 60-70%, they trust the government, they trust everybody, they assume everything's okay, nobody would do anything to them, except maybe steal from them personally. But they don't realize that the government's doing far more than that.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to get into politics really, but I think that's where I was telling people, I've been saying that and that's why your music may be exactly what a lot of people need to hear, because it's going to resonate with where they are, because they are suffering. Divorce is higher in the church than it is anywhere else.
Yeah.
Child abuse, I don't care what form, any form, is on the rise. And our culture is an absolute mess. And everybody says, oh, it's, when they say, oh, well, it's not that bad. I'm like, okay. You don't even notice what's going on then.
Revival in this country will not come through passing of a law. It will come through people stepping up, taking a stand for what the Lord is calling them to do and say, just take a stand for righteousness. Like Paul said, the kingdom is about power. And those who are connected to God and are being used in power, they'll be the ones that will turn the hearts of the people. So, trying to just accomplish things through politics, I think that's human means for trying to accomplish something that takes spiritual power.
And that's true. I think that if we reach the individuals, then they're going to make different choices.
Yeah.
I mean, the big thing I always push to remind everybody is empowerment. If you have more information, you make better choices. When you don't know the facts, you're going to make bad choices.
Yeah.
Don't take this pill, it's going to kill you. But, how many times you see those commercials that take this pill because it'll fix this problem and mm-hmm. it'll create this and this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
And then the list doesn't stop and you're like, I just have indigestion occasionally, and you want me to take this pill to do what? And it'll cause all these other health problems?
And it's going to give me lymphoma?
It could kill me.
Yeah.
Followed by death or blood disease or, I'm like, oh, dear Lord, I'll just suffer with the indigestion or just whatever the problem's giving me,
But you won't be nervous.
Okay. You're right, Brad. Now, before we finish out, we're at that point, but I'd really like to ask, are there some things you want to really say to get across, and then you can even, I'll go ahead and throw out the other question, and what would you recommend if somebody was wanting to know more about how to get into music like this? Because people don't know where to choose styles of music and stuff often, or they like to play instruments, but they don't know where they're going. Where would you say the first point would be?
You mean are you asking if they want to play this kind of music themselves?
I'm asking all of that. Whatever you want.
Okay.
Answer whatever you want. I'm
right.
Leaving it pretty open.
Well,
here.
So there's a couple of things. Number one, we do want to get better known. Look us up online and get in touch with our music.
What's your website?
Okay, so we have a Facebook page where if you just do a search on Crimson Blues, you'll find us. We have a YouTube page where you can search for us, again, with the same band name, or just put in the whole word Crimson Blues Band. On Reverb Nation, all of our music, we've got a huge cache of music there. And there you can look us up. And the exact name of our account there is The Crimson Blues Band. You got to put the word "the" in front of it. That's because the name Crimson Blues Band was already taken by some fella who does R&B in Georgia.
Okay.
So we had to put the word "the" in front of our band name. So on Reverb Nation, The Crimson Blues Band.
Why did you choose the name, though? That's the other thing I was.
Oh, the name Crimson Blues. Well, it's a funny thing. We had floated a bunch of different band name ideas around, and we're kind of going through this process of sort of democratically determining what do all the band members like. And this name rose to the top because the word crimson alludes to the blood of Christ,
right.
And blues refers to the blues. And it's funny because at first I thought to myself, man, I don't know. That's kind of a weird name. I'm not sure I like that name at all. And enough people in the band really, really dug it and really liked the name. I thought to myself, okay, you know, they must be onto something. And I think I better just roll with what with the consensus. And, you know, we'll go ahead and roll with this band name. And then afterwards, it grew on me, and I've come to really love it. And it's, you know, it's kind of a cool, distinct name that's a little different.
You know, and I think for those who are interested in the blues, who are you listening to right now? Who do you like? Are you a Pink Floyd fan? All right, well, who were Syd Barrett's influences? Why did he choose the name Pink Floyd? You know, who was Jimmy Page listening to? Who was Eric Clapton listening to? All right, well, he's listening to Freddie King and Albert King and some of these other guys. You know, well, who were their influences? You know, who was Buddy Guy's influences? You start digging, you know, B.B. King, all these guys. Who were their mentors? And you discover these treasures and people that you may have never heard of. And, you know, we have Google and YouTube now and
Wikipedia.
You know, and Wikipedia, you know, which is half right and half wrong. But, you know, you might figure out something.
Well, it's user-oriented. That's why.
Yeah.
Not just user-friendly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but something that I'll do is I'll go on to a combination of YouTube and Pandora. And I'll plug in YouTube. I'll listen to something, you know, some you know, Freddie King, and then I'll look at who's it suggesting, and it might suggest, you know, some other guys that are around the same era. Or, you know, you create a Pandora station of Mississippi John Hurt. Suddenly you have, you know, this blind preacher who's also, you know, writing blues songs on there. And
you just left half our audience. They don't even know what Pandora is. that box the girl opened, right?
Open the box. Open the box.
So the one other thing, if a person wants to find out more about Christian blues music that's out there, you go check out online christianblues.net. You can find them both on Facebook and on their own website where they do it's a streaming internet music service, which is nothing but Christian blues 24/7. And some of our tunes will pop up from time to time on there. If the person is a musician who is interested in exploring this kind of music, you just got to find a blues jam and go out there and play with them and make lots of mistakes and don't worry about it. And also, you know, come January 5th when we play and come network with us and you know, help us fill the house up.
Well, you guys aren't that far away. You're in San Jose area.
Yeah, we're just up in San Jose.
So somebody from this area could actually connect with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we go out to JJ's occasionally or you know, some of the other blues jams in town. I think, what was it, One Broadway and
Number One Broadway.
And Los Gatos sometimes. You know, there's blues jams and, you know, just try and, you know, ignore the song after song of poorly done Chicago blues and a medium shuffle and, you know, pick out the other the other guys. You know, there's some great, great players out there.
So, but the best way to get a hold of you, though, is through the Facebook?
Yes, I'd say find us on Facebook and shoot a message directly to us.
Okay, somebody has a question. Do you think you'll ever do a praise and worship blues album?
I like that.
I don't know.
You know. I like it.
What'd you say, Brad?
I like that idea. I think that would be a lot of fun because, you know, you can't get Delta Blues out of Mark, so it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
But... if we force him to fit into the mold of modern worship, it would be really interesting.
I think, you know, I think that people don't realize modern worship is not really what you hear on most stations. It really isn't, because some of the stuff I've been finding running across is it can be anything. It can be anything from folky sound to sort of country sound to a rock and roll sound to a blues sound, I even think, to, you know, to just some stuff I don't even know how to categorize it.
So it's really open-ended then, isn't it?
I believe so, because it's really not about a style. It's about the one thing and one thing only, worship.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how much music I've run across and everything and so on.
It's very conformist.
Well, not to bash anybody because I don't believe in doing that, and I was very pleased to find so much eclectic stuff out there, just incredible amount of music's out there from all the way around the world, and the internet is now become an incredible tool to find music you can't normally find from groups all over the country and all over the world. It's just amazing how much is out there, and you really don't know where they're coming from, and you hear their music and you're like, what is this? And it's really exciting. So any closing thoughts you want to say or anything, guys? Anything?
Just give a listen to us on YouTube and check us out on Facebook. Communicate with us, and hope to see you all at the concert at the church in Salinas.
Sounds good. Guys, I want to thank you for joining us. I'm sorry for the guys who couldn't be here. Again, you can check them out on Facebook.com/ Crimson Blues.
Well, just in the search box, just put in Crimson Blues.
Okay.
And you'll find us.
Okay. That's the easiest way to do it. And we'll have more information as time goes on about them, too, as well, folks. So, and, you know, also don't forget they'll be here January 5th at First Baptist Church in Salinas at 4 p.m. And they'll also be there during the worship services. I want to thank you guys for joining us. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And Crimson Blues, purposed by the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Sanctified Boogie Blues. I got holes in my pockets and rocks in my shoes. Sanctified Boogie Blues. Oh, well, about this time I can get some good news. Come on.
Thank you for joining us for this segment of Open Talk with the high-octane band called Crimson Blues. Christian Blues Band, that is. If you want more information, you can find out about them at Facebook.com/ Crimson Blues Band. Facebook.com/ Crimson Blues Band.
In case you didn't hear, Sanctified Boogie Blues.
Been listening to Open Talk. If you would like more information about this program or any episode, you can go to our website at opentalk.us. That's opentalk.us. The views and opinions of our guests are not necessarily those of this station or its management. We hope you will join us next time for another edition of Open Talk. This program is a production of Central Coast Christian Radio. Thanks for listening.